Maybe wanting things is what makes me a lot. If I could just want less, I'd be the right amount of person, the amount I'm supposed to be, the not a lot amount, the easy to love amount.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast bringing you the updates on what you really want to know about Book Talk's most popular books and whether or not you should take time out of your busy schedule to read them. I'm Catherine.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Caitlin. And today we are bringing you Jeanette McCurdy's first ever fiction novel called Half His Age. We have reviewed her memoir, which we all liked quite a lot. I'm Glad My Mom Died. And that went pretty viral. So a lot of people have been picking up her fiction book now. Fairly short book. Somehow still has 80 chapters. It's based off true experiences in her life. Unfortunately, a huge trigger warning for underage sex.
Pedophilia.
And grooming. Yeah.
Rape and grooming. Power.
Yeah. Abuse by a teacher.
Anyway, it's essentially this girl who lives in Alaska. She has a stupid name. And she like is not satisfied by teenage boys and gets a crush on her 40-year-old teacher, and he reciprocates. And it's kind of about their quote unquote relationship. And essentially it's all about her being groomed. It's trigger warning, trigger warning, trigger warning.
You couldn't tell by the title.
Yeah. So,
okay.
I don't know what else to say. That's what it is.
That's a summary. Yeah. Do you guys have reviews?
Yes. I have a 1-star review from Goodreads, and it just says, "This book kept saying, sit with the discomfort." And I was like, okay, but can we also sit with the cringe?
That's actually surprisingly funny. There are like almost zero funny reviews of this book because the book is incredibly serious and like not like fun to read. So I got a 3-star and it just says, yes, this is genius, but I hope I'll never have to read it again.
So fair.
Yeah.
I have 2 I'll read you. One is a 1.75 from Storygraph. Says, yes, this book is off-putting, but I can appreciate that. That's the whole point of this kind of story. I can't appreciate how poorly written it was. The shock value felt so forced that it was hard to even read. I was annoyed and grossed out the entire time. She purposefully dropped in weird one-word sentences that were just about bodily fluids or lewd sex acts. I'm glad it was short. If you're on the fence, skip it. And then I have a 1-star. Unfortunately, this is a book quote. It says, slap my face with your bloody dick. I don't think I need to explain any further.
Yeah, that is a book quote.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good introduction into the story, I think. So Goodreads rating is 3.29 out of 5. Fable is 3 out of 5. Storygraph is 3.43 out of 5. So
that's really low for what we normally do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hovering around 3-ish, 4-ish, somewhere in between there. Where did you guys come down?
Do you want to start or end with Caitlin?
Probably. I feel like we normally end with the hater.
Okay.
I think I'm the highest.
Spoiler.
You spoiled it by your review, yeah. Your summary of this book.
Yeah, they already know what you think.
I mean, was I wrong?
I mean, you know, neither here nor there. Okay, I can go first because I think I rated the book the highest. I gave the book 3.5 stars. I feel like I still have a very complicated relationship with this book when I think on it, because it did some things that I really admired that I thought are really difficult to do and also really important. Like, this is not a book that you read to enjoy it. It's not enjoyable, but I think it says a lot of very important things that like are lost right now, especially as like age gap relationships have kind of become a trend almost, especially in conservative communities. I think this book is like really important right now. And I think there are things that it did really well, but it's not perfectly done. There were chapters that felt pointless. The character was a little unlikable to excess at times. Sometimes I was reading the chapters, not sure what the point was. So like, I don't know. There were things I really admired about the book, but there were things that I really disliked about the book. So ultimately the things I liked went out and I gave it 3.5, which is not like a resounding review, but I think it's still worth people reading it. So yeah, I think it does a good job of showing why I think it's okay. I think it's very honest about the dynamics in an abusive teacher-student relationship and, to be frank, many age gap relationships in a way that many authors have been afraid to write about.
Yeah, I agree. I ended up with about a 3-star review for this book. I agree with you, Casey. I think it does add a lot to the discussion of these kind of age gap and questionable relationships, because like people would argue she's legally of age, but that shouldn't matter. I mean, they meet when she's 17. So actually, no. But it's I don't think we've had the perspective of the quote unquote like Lolita character, where it's like her narrating and her experiences. And I think it really shows the grooming from her perspective. And obviously, like, Jeanette McCurdy is pulling from real life examples. So she's very good about getting back into her teenage mind. And I think this book came out of, after writing I'm Glad My Mom Died and having to get back into her teenage and childhood self and reliving the trauma that her mom caused her and that other people around her caused her. So I think that there's this really interesting conversation about age gap relationships and stuff. But I also don't think it was very well written. Like, there were kind of portions of it where I was just like, it's a little too grotesque for a general consumption. And if you really wanted this book to make a statement, I think you could have toned it down a bit in order to allow for a wider audience to enjoy, not enjoy, but read it. But you're already going to turn off a whole lot of people with like the quotes that Caitlin read. And I think it was gratuitous at times. So that's why I'm kind of at the middle ground where I'm like, I can respect what this book was doing, but I also can accurately critique it.
I gave it 1 star. As soon as I realized she was 17, I was sad I was reading it, just because I know I get it. I get the story. I get the point. I don't like reading that. And my God, who was her editor? I'm sorry. Her tone of voice works well in her memoir. It did not work well in this book. It is too blunt, too straightforward, too vulgar. I think it isolates probably a lot of readers. And also, her audiobook narration was terrible, because I did the audiobook and I liked her narration for her memoir because it's in her voice. And this one, it felt like, you know, a really pissed off teenager was reading this book out loud. Like, not good.
I don't think I could have handled this book as an audiobook, to be frank.
Hated. Also, it was a 5-hour audiobook, but it felt like a million years. And I was like, why am I on chapter 88? It's a 5-hour audiobook. So I don't know. I don't have a lot good to say about it other than I get the point. I get why she wrote it, but I did not enjoy it. I wouldn't recommend it to a lot of people because of how vulgar it is. And I think some of the like stuff she put in there for shock value was incredibly unnecessary. And some of the topics that she should have been analyzing, she totally brushed over. So 1 star.
And that's fair. It's the book not for everyone.
Yeah.
Not for me. I hate read this. I would have DNF'd it, but it was only 5 hours and it was for the podcast. So I was like,
yeah, fine. We did force you to read this one. You were already out on this one to start.
I just have no desire to read about a relationship like this. I understand they're real. I understand the point of it, but I don't enjoy it.
Well, I'm glad it didn't fetishize it, which is good.
Yeah.
No, but at the end, the character never acknowledges she's been groomed and stuff. Like, there was stuff that should have acknowledged more.
I would disagree with that personally. Yeah. Because many victims of this kind of abuse don't realize they've been abused until years later. I actually think, given everything that happens in the book, it's kind of a happy ending.
But I feel like, as she has herself acknowledged she's been groomed, maybe it would have been good to include in the book if it's based off her experience.
Yeah, but that would take years of unpacking.
Yeah, she didn't realize that that relationship was inappropriate for years. And that's even in her memoir.
Yeah.
I know. I just... I would not want a young girl to pick up this book.
Oh, I actually would. So I'd be like, look at how disgusting this is. This is what the men who are approaching you online, this is what the men who are approaching you at bars are like. This is what it is. I actually think teenagers should read this book.
I actually agree, because I think I hear all too much, you're mature for your age, when it comes to like teenage girls. And I'm like, no, the boys are immature for their age. The girls are just right on par with their fucking age. And it gives me the ick every time I hear that uttered from an adult, because I heard it a lot as a kid and it always gave me an ick, because I was just kind of like, I'm just living life, man. Like, I don't have the life experiences to say that I'm mature. I'm just, you can use my fucking brain, and I'm not like riddled with hormones constantly. I don't know. And so I do think that it's important for teenage girls to like be able to clock quicker. And like, grooming tactics.
Maybe it's just the way she narrated it. The way it was narrated, it almost like she was romanticizing the relationship at first. And at the end, it felt like she just quit it because, sorry, spoiler, we all know how it happened. So it felt like she just quit it because he was, turns out old people are boring and they're bad at sex. Like, that's how it read in her narration.
But that's because we're experiencing it from her perspective. These abusive relationships start because these young women think that they're getting this like great older guy. Like, he makes himself seem attractive to her and she buys into it.
I just, like, I personally wouldn't want a young girl reading it.
Like, for me, because you're reading it from her perspective and she's thinking that this is good. And as an adult, you're reading it and you're like literally horrified. And that's how you're supposed to feel. Like, that's what like Jeanette McCurdy's showing.
Maybe if you had a more nuanced vocabulary and were better at writing it, sure.
I mean, that's how I experienced it. And the reason I liked it is because people, I think men particularly, make everything about who initiated what, who said yes to what. And that's such a one-dimensional view of consent and relationships that has been taken to an extreme to empower pedophiles, to empower abusive men. And this shows you that, like, this is how actual grooming works. They actually get a woman to agree to be in a relationship while she's being abused because a significantly older man has preyed on a child, which is why I think it's important.
Yeah, and I think when you think of pop culture, you think of people making jokes about Leonardo DiCaprio never having a girlfriend over the age of fucking 25. Like, and we're not calling that out as much as we should. I think it's being called out now as he ages, but like, that's always been the joke. That's been the butt of every joke. It's kind of downplayed in Hollywood. And you see like Bill Belichick's girlfriend. You see like these old men dating like 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds. And I know that they're adults, but that's dubious at best. And I think that there's a lack of conversations around these age gap romances. Cause like, even think about us growing up watching like Pretty Little Liars.
Okay, that's what I thought of this whole book.
Yes. One of the main characters literally dates her teacher and it's glorified and they end up married at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. It's disgusting. So anyway, I did feel like this book kind of reclaimed the narrative a little bit. However, Caitlin, I do understand your points, and I think there are many very relevant critiques of how this book is written.
Yes, the vulgarity of it all is very valid and real.
Okay, well, we've already discussed this book a lot for this point in the episode, but is the book more...
I feel like that's fine, because I think people should know what they're getting into.
100%. I do, too, actually. I think it's better to front load it in this one.
Yeah.
Because also... if you've experienced abuse, I don't know that you should read the book.
No, probably not. And like, I knew what I was getting into and was still shocked by some of the things that she said and how simply she said them in her narration. I was like, oh my God.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it more plot or character driven?
Character.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're basically like just with Waldo on this relationship. And it like starts when she's 17 and doesn't end till she's like 20 or something. Is it 19?
18. 18.
18? Okay.
It's like, this is all 18. Like a year.
I think it's like a year and a half or something like that. Yeah.
Not even, I don't think. I think it's like start of school year through like summer.
So a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just her going through the relationship and basically finally escaping. And it, she really only escapes because she changes and gets older.
Yep. She realizes she's actually better than this 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
Also, there's a huge piece of character development with her relationship with her mom also.
Yes. Yeah. And some of her relationships with her friends. Just, she just gets older and she gets a little bit more mature, and that's ultimately why the relationship ends.
Which is tragic. That man is older and should be more mature. Yeah. Anyway, that's the whole point.
Right.
Have you read other books by the author? Yes, she only has two books and we've read them both.
Yep. We also all watched iCarly.
Yeah.
Have seen everything that woman is on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, would you guys read more books from Jeanette McCurdy now that you've read this one too?
No.
Depends on what it is.
If it was more of her memoir, maybe.
I would be very curious about reading more fiction from her. However, I think I'm done with the abuse narratives from her. If her next book is also about, you know, grooming, I think I would probably sit it out. However, I'm willing to keep giving her a chance. I think she's becoming a better writer, but I definitely do think like her books still read very disjointed, which I also kind of felt about her memoir.
Yeah, I agree. Like her memoir, I think was good for us because we grew up with her.
Yeah.
But it turns out her tone of voice is literally the character she played on iCarly, so take that as you will.
Yeah. Okay. What about the pacing of the book? How long did it take you to read? Short-ish.
It took me about a week to read, but I finished like 90% of it in one day. Because again, procrastinated it because it's a very intense book. And I didn't really want to read an intense book during this week. So I just had to finish it for the podcast.
I think it probably took me a week to listen to, just because I only listen in the car, really. And I do think I came home one day and kept listening to it for like 2 hours just to knock it out because I needed it to be done. But it wasn't that hard to knock out. So it felt kind of long, though, just because the chapters were so short.
Yeah. It reads almost like diary entries. Because it feels, I think the reason it feels long to me is like, I mean, A, it's like super depressing, but also it just feels like we almost live like every day with her. Like a lot of the days are just her being depressed, her being obsessed with her abuser. Like, it's just like, she's doing dumb teenage shit every day and you're kind of like living in that with her. So it feels so long sometimes. But I did finish the book in a day. I just like, for me, with very dark books, I feel like I either procrastinate them a lot or I just have to finish them. And for me, I felt like I just needed to finish it because I just wanted to kind of get through the story.
Yeah. What about, would you watch a movie or TV show?
No.
No. No.
Yeah, don't worry. My answer is also no. We're good.
A million times no.
Just watch Pretty Little Liars. It's fine.
Oh, Lord.
Right. The ultimate romanticization. Dude, I love, actually, this is just an aside, but I feel like people have started going back to that show now that, like, the main fan base is a little bit older and have clipped scenes of Ezra from the show and how, like, A, that is like an abusive relationship that was glorified, but also how dumb and weird and corny his character is on the yes. show.
It is. And he was my favorite at the time. I was totally
he was my favorite too. Yeah.
The bookish teacher guy. Of course I loved him.
Right. Right.
Anyway, I knew it, I was aware it was not okay and was toxic. I don't know why I watched it anyway. I was young, but
yeah.
CW are wild, guys, when you go back and look at them older. What?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that brings us to Busy Girl rating.
I'm going to stick with a 3 because it is a faster, like, it's a shorter book. And I do think there's some merits to it being read, but I also understand that it's not for everyone. And it's a really intense and dark book, but I'm going to stick with 3.
I guess I'll give it like a 3. It's not a hard read. It's actually too simplistic and it's short, but it's not for everybody for sure.
Yeah, I think I agree with the 3. You can read it in a day, but
do you want to?
Right. I think it's a book I'd recommend to people, but with a lot of caveats. And I don't think it's good written well enough that I would rate it higher.
Yeah, okay. Like averaging around a 3.3 in the reviews is really low for this podcast. But yeah. Everyone's reading it because it's Jeanette McCurdy.
Yeah. And so. Even like there was a phenomenon in the reviews that I noticed that I felt within myself too, where like half the 3-star reviews were like, this was horrible. Can't believe I read it. And then the other half were like, this is sort of genius, but it's still also kind of horrible. Like, it's just like,
that's kind of also what the 1-stars said too.
Yeah. Yes. It's sort of good and terrible at the same time, which makes it a difficult book to rate. Cause also like, if you enjoyed this book, like you're kind of a psychopath. Like, I mean, I understand that the 5-stars are like, I'm sure they didn't enjoy it, but they're like, you know,
it's felt genius.
A different way. Yeah. Yeah. But it was like, yeah, I didn't enjoy reading it.
Yeah,
but
like I didn't get off on any of this. This sucked.
Yeah, it was horrible.
It's okay. Not, if anyone says it's their favorite book, please check on them.
Yeah, they're having some troubles.
They went through something.
Yeah.
All right. So spoiler alert, start of the spoiler alert section. We've already spoiled a lot, but, you know, we can always spoil more. So decide if you want to read this book. If not, we'll discuss it so you can have an opinion either way. So, first question. What did you think of Waldo?
Why is she named Waldo? Where's Waldo?
I mean, you're right. It's a stupid name. Like,
it's a very stupid name. Who names their child that? Only a fucked up
Waldo and Corgi.
Corgi's more reasonable because that's actually a last name.
Right. It's pretty bad. And
Waldo's a teenage girl. That's
yeah.
That's that.
She's a teenage girl that has had way too much put on her plate and her shoulders. She's basically her mom's parent and has been basically raising herself since the age of like 5 years old and has pretty much provided for the entire house and made sure that the bills are paid and stuff like that. So she's put on a lot of pressure on herself and she relieves it by binge shopping and fantasizing and fetishizing her teacher. So,
yeah, she had a bad example and she is a product of that.
Right. Yeah. Her mom is a love bomb.
She's already made it past the stage where her mother had her. So,
right.
She is a little better than her mom.
New achievement unlocked.
Yeah.
Also, why Anchorage, Alaska?
That was a choice.
It was like, let me think of the most boring place in the world. Anchorage. I feel like Anchorage people should be offended by how boring she portrayed their town. And of course, Waldo was going to have a very boring, normal life because of how you described Anchorage.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I don't know anything about Anchorage. I've never even thought about Anchorage, I don't think. So I was very surprised that the book was set there.
I aspire to travel to Anchorage one day. Like,
yeah.
I've been there, but I don't think we stayed very long.
I'm not sure there's a lot happening, but I feel like... I think we went been to Anchorage, or did you just pick this town and call it boring?
Yeah.
Yeah, Anchorage people call in. But yeah, I mean, Waldo's unlikable, but she's traumatized from a very neglectful childhood and wants love wherever she can get it, and like fills the gaping hole in her heart with binge shopping and binge eating and yeah, trying to get someone she shouldn't have. And it's kind of horrific to read. I think Waldo is one of the points in this book where I'm like, okay, I don't know that we had to make her that unlikable. Like, and I think it makes sense. Like, it wasn't to the point where I was like, this is unrealistic, because honestly, I was a pretty unlikable teenager.
I think most teenagers are.
Right.
But with how horribly moody and volatile she is, why would the teacher even give her the time of day?
Yeah.
Because he knows that he can abuse her.
I mean, I get it, but like...
Because she literally called herself white trash.
And she worshipped him, and he wanted to be worshipped. So, yeah, I mean, but I think the ends of the book could have been achieved while making Waldo a little bit more of an interesting, likable person. Because she's smart. It's just that she's like... It is, Caitlin, I feel like, has kind of said this. It's like almost like reading a zombie. Like, she's just so emptied out inside that there's like nothing.
And it was
left.
Narrated with no inflection at all. It was how it was also read out loud. So, you know, like, that's how she intended it.
There wasn't a lot of depth to Waldo, despite all the trauma and stuff like that. And like, you could see hints of her coming in, but for the most part, she was just a pick me in a sense, where she was just trying to be the it girl, the cool girl, the stereotypical, like
the alt girl,
the alt girl. Like, she was trying to be the stereotypical, like, stripper in the sheets, like virgin in the streets. Like, she was trying to be what every guy fantasizes about, because she needed attention and approval. And so she didn't have a personality. It was just kind of who she was trying to get the guy.
Yeah. Consumerism.
She was bored, and that's why she pursued this man.
Yeah. And it made me sad, because honestly, I think a lot of women live like that, and it hopefully doesn't get to this point because they come from better households and communities. But like, I kind of get it, right? Like, I just feel like the entire message that is pushed onto women via social media is how to be hot, how to be the hot girl. Like, even kids, like, how to dress, how to do your makeup, how to look so that you're a product for a man. And it's very sad. And that's kind of how Waldo felt.
How to be unbothered.
Well, but also, like, her saying stuff like, another cart that I know won't make me feel any better. I'm like, no, that's hindsight perspective. That's not in the moment perspective. So if you're going to include that hindsight perspective, include it about the relationship too. Like, don't say that stuff like, she knows in the moment. I'm like, no, that's something you've learned through life. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like I kind of got that, because it's like, she was doing anything to make herself feel better, even if she knew it wasn't going to make her feel better.
Right. But I feel like, I don't know, a lot of young people don't realize that's what they're doing.
But she's perceptive. I think that her main character attribute is she's so perceptive of what other people think, want, and desire, that she can mimic herself in that form. So she does it with her mom. She does it with her teachers. She does it with her classmates. She knows exactly what they want, and she fulfills that want for them. She should be a psychologist, honestly, because she would probably be very good at it.
Yeah, that's very abused child syndrome. To be extremely perceptive about the ideas and attitudes of adults around you. Okay, well, what did you guys think of Mr. Corgi?
Terrible human. Terrible, terrible.
Pathetic. I mean, this is part of it, part of the dynamic, but the fact that she literally never called him by his first name.
So gross.
Clearly wasn't actually interested in him, drove me nuts. I get the point. But I was also like, if I hear the word corgi one more time, I'm going to punch a wall. Because it was Mr. Corgi, Mr. Corgi, Mr. Corgi. Like, mix it up, girl. Use some different words to describe him. Call him him. I don't know. Sorry, that's nothing about his character. That's about the writing. He's an asshole. Yeah. He's nice and unassuming, you think, but he has a wife and child and is willing to invite this girl into his home to meet his wife and child.
Yep. Yeah, he's disgusting. So this is a little personal narrative, but my English teacher, my sophomore year of high school, was arrested for having sex with students. And he was someone who made me uncomfortable from day one. I could just tell there was something not right about him. There were always rumors about him with students. No one took it seriously. And he actually like started trying to groom a friend of mine. Like, I obviously can't prove it, but he was weird about her and he hated me. And he hated me because he knew I was going to try to protect her. And because I'm not to brag too much, I'm very good at English, was my whole life. That's how I ended up being a journalist. And he was giving me like D's on essays. Like, it was ridiculous. And he'd always ask about her. He was always hyping her up. She wouldn't even care if I mentioned this because we've openly joked about it as adults that he was trying to groom her. And he could tell. She came from a household where she had a lot of like siblings and didn't always get enough attention. And she wanted validation from men. She had low self-esteem and he understood how to manipulate her. Like, I actually just got a masterclass on how these people work because he found her like in a crowd of students and like could understand that she was the type of girl who he could manipulate. And so I don't know. I just actually like reading this, I saw that teacher in Mr. Corgi, because this teacher always tried to be pretended to be cool. He was married to another teacher at our high school and she was pregnant. They had children. Like, he could put on this mask and parade around life as a normal, respected person. He was thought of as a cool teacher among the guys. Meanwhile, he was like curating these relationships with female students that were totally inappropriate. So like, I think that experience is possibly one of the reasons why I rated this book a little more highly, because I was like, this is literally exactly what I witnessed. Like, what Mr. Corgi did in this book, I actually like saw it happen in real life. And so, yeah,
I get it. Like, there was only one thing I felt was unbelievable. The rest was totally believable. And that was that if you're writing this to be a modern, like, current time period, no teacher, man or woman, would invite a student over to their house for dinner. Not in this day and age.
And that's part of why you can't. Like,
right. Yeah. That's why. So like, that's the only part that was like unbelievable about how it started.
That is unbelievable.
You would go to the police would do get you just for that.
Yeah, you're like, not allowed to do that. Not at all.
No.
But like,
but the rest, I'm like, yeah, I can totally see how this would actually happen and probably has happened to many, many young girls.
And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people can tell those kinds of stories that Casey's talking about. Like, I knew at least two teachers at my like middle school and high school. One was a woman who had an affair with a 15-year-old, 14-year-old. In her math class. She just had a kid. She was married to a pastor. It was a whole thing. And she was always getting hit on by the teenage boys because she was like, quote unquote, hot. And she would kind of like joke with them and stuff like that, where she would just like brush them off. But I always got weird vibes from her. And it's interesting because the reaction to him, and it came out that it was him, was that he got like applauded and he got treated like a king, like, oh my God, you bagged the hot teacher. But that would never happen with a woman ever.
No.
It's grooming on both sides. It's sexual assault and rape on both sides. But when it's a woman, she's a victim. She's like, she asked for it. It's always negative. But then when it's a man, it's like, oh my God, go you. Like, it's just so ridiculous. And it's just, I mean, like I experienced with like male teachers, like asking students to do jumping jacks as a punishment if they didn't get a word right. And it was only the female students that they asked him to do jumping jacks because he wanted to see their boobs.
And I, as someone who is in schools for my job nearly every day, I understand how easy it might be to find these poor, vulnerable children and why it's important to have educators that will protect them, because there are kids that will come up and hug me who they do not know just because I am an adult in a place that's supposed to be safe.
Right.
And I'm like, nope, buddy, we can't do that. You know, some of my sister students, just because I'm a familiar face and they trust her, they'll come up and hug me. And it's like, I could see how these sweet, sweet children who just are looking for this love and attachment that they don't get at home can end up in these situations. Specifically, the people I get the most hugs from are sped kids.
Yeah.
And like, I give them like a little pat and say, okay, thank you, and move on. But like, okay, what happens when an adult doesn't do that, you know? And it upsets me.
Right. A big part of the story is Waldo's mother and the trauma from Waldo's childhood that has kind of left her craving a relationship, especially from an adult figure, because Waldo's never been taken care of. And so what did you guys think of Waldo's mom, who kind of is one of those very inconsistent, love bombing when she's there and then totally absent, always leaving her child for a man, essentially? What did you think of her mom and Waldo's traumatic childhood?
Well, it's a cycle of abuse. Her mom was abused, so she had a kid young because she was set up for failure. And then she never grew up from when she had a kid. So she stayed 16 for the rest of her life and was seeking male attention and male affirmations. She wanted males to make her feel better, to make her feel pretty and whole. And she instilled that onto her daughter by dolling her up to see her father, being like, yeah, you have to look pretty in order to get your father's attention. So basically, Waldo was set up with the idea of the male gaze and the idea of making men feel good.
Yeah. I honestly thought this relationship was almost more interesting. Because you know from reading her memoir that she wrote this relationship from real experience in a way. It was different, but it was similar. Yeah. And I don't know. I thought it was more interesting even than her relationship with the teacher, and that I would have liked more of it, a little bit deeper. Like, you can read between the lines and understand why Waldo is the way she is because of her mom. But I don't know. I feel like I would have enjoyed more of that.
I agree with you. I think the mom is actually the most complicated character in the book. Mm-hmm. Because you can kind of appreciate the way her mom tries and the fact that her mom isn't all bad. And again, like, her mom is also a victim, but also like see that she has abused Waldo by not solving her own problems and kind of leaving Waldo to pick up the pieces. And I think that is actually part of the ending that's more interesting, actually, than the resolution of mm-hmm. the relationship, is how Waldo kind of almost becomes free from her mother, like kind of
quits all the relationships.
Yeah.
Well, because she thought her mom would change, and then her mom showed her exactly that she wasn't healed, that she's not done any of the work, and that she will continue to be this destructive person, a human tornado. So she was just like, I got to get out of here. I'm better than you, and I can be better than you.
Yeah. I mean, she even quits her relationship with her friend too. She just quits mm-hmm. them all. But the most interesting one that you're like, I wonder how this will play out, is not with the teacher or her friend. It's with her mom.
Yeah. And I actually feel like it's maybe worth bringing up the friend, because like, the scenes with the friend were always ones where I was like, what is happening here? Like,
yes, thank you.
Waldo is such an unreliable narrator that I don't believe anything that she really said about her friend, because I also think Waldo was set up to see other women as competition. So I just don't know that she ever really saw her friend very clearly. But also the fact that her friend is
clearly
like
hating on Mormons.
Yeah, I was like, it felt like so weird that her friend was like Mormon and hyper religious. And I was just like, where is this coming from? Because I think the friend character could have been an interesting way to like broaden out the perspective of the book because we're very like locked in Waldo's brain in this story.
Well, and part of me was like, okay, who was your friend who got you through stuff when you were in this area who was a goody goody? Miranda Cosgrove. This is not Miranda Cosgrove, but it felt like a weird allusion to her. And I don't know, that made me feel like their friendship's more complicated than her memoir let on even.
I mean, and I don't know, maybe this character isn't meant to relate to Miranda Cosgrove at all.
Maybe not, but it just, that's what it made me think of.
Well, they added the Mormon thing, which she was a Mormon. Jeanette was.
Oh, I thought you meant Miranda Cosgrove.
No. Miranda Cosgrove is not a Mormon. I meant Jeanette McCurdy. She was Mormon.
Yes.
Right. It just felt a little strange to me. Like, it just didn't feel like the pieces of that character were fitting together.
No, and it was just like, oh, and this, my friend came to talk to me and she took me to church and made me feel like a project. And now I'm back in class. I was like, wait, what?
Right. And also, like, her friend is very goody two shoes and then let a relationship with a teacher slide. Like, I was just kind of like,
yes, that's what I was like when she told her and the girl didn't tattle. I was like, no way.
Yeah, right. No, the girl would have tattled.
That's also actually where I thought the book was going, is once she told her goody goody friend, I was like, oh, we're going to get some like actual like rising action here because things are going to become public or semi-public.
Right. And, but why would a man who does something inappropriate with a young child get consequences?
Well, they rarely do, to be honest.
No, that's what I'm saying. Why would they?
Right. Which is maybe something I wish was different about the book, but I also kind of respect because it's more realistic.
A true happy ending would be that there were consequences.
Right. That probably will never occur.
No.
Okay. So when the relationship between Waldo and Corgi starts, Waldo is sort of like taking these desperate shots at him. And at first, we're not really clear. I mean, we know because we know the plot of the book, but like at first, Corgi seems to be handling things like an adult should. And then he starts slowly kind of crossing the boundaries and doing these things that are inappropriate. And then Waldo eventually like really comes onto him very strong and Corgi consents essentially to the relationship. Then we see him kind of use her more and more and Waldo's obsession with him grow more and more. What did you think about Waldo's obsession? And then at a certain point, Corgi's returning obsession as he feels Waldo pull away.
He desperately wanted to be wanted and he wanted to be desired. And he felt like he wanted to be the alpha. He wanted to be in control. He wanted to be top dog. And his wife made him feel emasculated, which she was just being like a normal human asking her husband to be, you know, an adult. And expecting him to get the groceries, like, I mean, take out the trash, parent your fucking child. It's like not emasculating unless you're really, really immature and can't, like, I don't know. So he became obsessed because she stopped being obsessed, but he desperately wanted someone to desire him and he loved the chase. He loved her chasing him and his like whole monologue at the end where he was just like, you just desperately wanted to chase me, but now that it's real, you don't want me anymore. Like he goes on this whole thing. I was like, oh, you're just telling on yourself because you wanted her to want that chase. And now that now that she's caught you and she's kind of like, you're not what you said you were. You're not what you are.
Yeah. Right. He felt played because turns out she actually doesn't like any of the things he likes. And she just wanted to see if she could do it.
Right.
And so he feels betrayed and is taking it out on her.
And it also is like the whole relationship was an illusion. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Catherine, he does tell on himself because it's like, oh, so you knew the position you were putting her in. Like you knew she was obsessed with you. You knew he was chasing you. And when that was the case, you were happy to use that to your advantage. Now that it's not, you're crying about it like you're the victim to try to get her to stay and feel bad.
And essentially saying like, I never wanted my child. What a horrible human being.
Well, I think
I felt pressured into marriage. I never wanted a child. I love him, but I'd rather leave that family and be with you because you're more interesting.
Also pressured into marriage with a total normal woman, like totally normal seeming woman who's rich.
Totally pressured. Sure.
Right. And more interesting, a teenage girl who we can all testify is not interesting at all.
No.
Correct.
I do think part of the thing that isn't explicitly talked about in the book, but that I think I personally think should be maybe more part of these discussions is also the fact that he's actually just a pedophile. Like, pedophiles will use any reason to, like, as an excuse to pursue children. And I think he's just interested in teenage girls. He doesn't want a grown-up woman, which is the real reason why his interest in his wife has waned, is because he's not interested in grown-up women. And he wants the power dynamic that comes from being an adult with a child, which is disgusting.
He's also failed at the career he aspired to. So he's looking for power wherever he can find it, since he's a failure in his mind.
Yeah. She's looking for validation. He's looking for validation.
I mean, I don't even know if she's looking for validation. I think she just wanted to see if she could do it. And then she enjoyed the chase. Just like her shopping. It was like her shopping addiction. I think she just enjoyed the hit of adrenaline.
And then she, like, constructs this whole fantasy where he's in love with her. And, like, at that point in the book, we're like, he actually does not give a fuck about her. I mean, he treats her so poorly and just wants her to have sex with her. And it's, like, disgusting. It's so gross, because you can see how much he's just, like, manipulated her. And the reason it stops isn't because, like, he changed. It's because she grew up a little bit and was like, got enough perspective to realize this guy is, like, actually a loser. This guy who I, like, idolized is a loser.
Yeah.
And her body was telling her no. Like, her body was saying, screaming, you need to stop now. We need to leave now. It wasn't her mind. It was her body that reacted first.
Right. Which is so gross too, because it does show that, like, he only changed what he was doing when he thought she was going to leave him. So, like,
well, and I'm sure that was her actual experience too. She was like, oh wait, this is disgusting.
Yeah. Okay. So Waldo really hates her peers and hates boys her own age. She thinks they're all stupid, which, to be fair, she's correct. Though, of course, the type of man who wants to be with a 17-year-old is, you know, not better. But she kind of thinks it might be. What did you guys think of Waldo's relationship with people her own age?
I mean, the first scene is her having unenjoyable sex with another teenager, where I was also like, I don't know. It's complex. And I feel like there are a lot of teenagers who have a complex relationship with people their own age. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're too mature. Maybe they're too immature. It's a weird time when everybody's kind of in a different maturity phase. But to be bored with sex at that age is that's a red flag. I don't know. I enjoyed the dynamic of the relationship with the other teenage boy that she went to prom with and stuff, because it was like, this is what you could have. And I think it actually did help her realize, this is what I could have. She just enjoyed the danger of the other situation more. The other was too safe for her because she's never lived in a safe situation. So I enjoyed that that was included. It's just, I don't know. It was kind of tragic.
Well, I think this is, like, where this book kind of intersects with another book we read, which is Girl on Girl. Mm-hmm. And the complete proliferation of porn and the porn industry into our modern day society, and how it's gotten infected in kids' brains. So when people and when teenagers go to have their first sexual experiences, because, like, you're not going to stop teens from being horny and having sex, but they have this idea of, like, a porn style sex experience where it's everything's enjoyable, over the top, and, like, slightly dangerous. And so
not pleasurable.
Like, you're expecting this, like, orgasmic, like, intensity, like, everything, when that's just really not the case. And, like, it's too bumbling teenagers. So it's like, we've created this, like, mystique and this presence around sex that's so unrealistic and unattainable that these teens are trying to aspire to, and it's creating very unsafe sexual relationships, actually. And I think this is, like, an example of this, where she was expecting this, like, porn style, and then didn't really get it from her teenage counterparts, because, like, that's a weird expectation to have. And that's been embedded into her brain because of pop culture.
Yeah. And I think like what Caitlin said earlier, like Waldo has been trained to see toxic relationships as safe. That's what she expects. So when she's in a relationship that's healthier and the demands of her aren't sexual, it actually feels more dangerous to her because she has to be emotionally real. She has to open up the real part of herself that she doesn't normally have to give people. And so she runs away from that. And she thinks that, like, she at that time thought the boyfriend, who was the nice guy, was doing something wrong to her because he was asking things of her emotionally, which we understand as an actual healthy relationship. So I think the book did a good job of showing, like, how Waldo's childhood and conditioning kind of set her up for a toxic relationship and set her up to be, like, vulnerable to someone like Mr. Corgi, because he would never ask that of her or want that of her. He's only interested in her as a sexual placeholder. But that actually felt safer to her.
Yeah. Agreed.
Okay. So we've already talked about Corgi's family a little bit. It's definitely scenes like that that are like big kind of obvious clues to the reader that Corgi's a loser because he's so mad at his wife over nothing and she's supporting his lifestyle.
Yeah, he actually just didn't want to put effort into his family.
Yeah.
It was too much, like, work to be in a family.
Right. Held hostage by a completely nice life.
And failed at his career, but his wife still loved him and supported him.
Right.
Yeah. My in-laws think I'm a loser. And I'm like, so you're a loser.
Yeah. Right.
And also, like, I do feel like there's a lot of, like, predator men out there who are like this, where they have these very unattainable dreams, which set them up for failure in the first place. But it's because they have this, like, just insanely elevated sense of self that they cannot deliver on because it doesn't match their actual abilities. And then they get, right. And then they get depressed and blame other people, blame their wife, blame their family when they can't achieve this, like, insane goal that they've set for themselves. And then they get, like, you know, depressed and need to be worshipped because they didn't achieve the thing that they haven't even tried to achieve. Like, Corgi didn't even really try to be a writer. He just, like, picked it and then thought it would happen.
Yeah. I don't know. He was probably jealous of some of his students that were better writers than him.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if there's even anything more to say about his family other than he hated them for no reason.
Yeah. His wife was a perfectly normal and nice lady.
I do think it was interesting the way Waldo observed her.
She didn't dislike her.
No. I think she actually coveted her. Mm-hmm. I think that is part of
she
what
she enjoyed made taking him away from her.
Right. But I think it's like she didn't do that to try to hurt his wife. She did that because she wanted to be his wife.
Yeah.
You know, she wanted to be pretty and secure and a grown up with money and have a good relationship to the outside world.
I agree. It was a little bit envy and seeing if she could pull it off.
Yeah.
And she did.
Right.
So hopefully Gwen is also in a better situation now too.
Yeah, I think
that one's kicked him to the curb.
Yeah.
He knows his true colors at least now.
Yeah. Gwen is living her best life, I'm sure. The real winner in all of this, truly.
For real.
Okay. So what do you think of the ending? Waldo leaves Corgi at the airport and leaves her mom.
Flex.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, okay, queen.
It was good, but it was almost too quick. And I was so exhausted from everything else I read that I was like, okay.
Yeah, it was very abrupt.
Yeah, it was a very quick ending. I'm so glad she didn't go to Hawaii with him. I really thought she would. And I was getting very nervous.
No, I kind of saw it coming.
I liked it. I think not in because of this book's merit, but actually because I was reminded of her memoir, because she talks about going on vacation with the man who's inspired this book. And it felt a little bit to me like kind of rewriting the narrative, like the moment she wishes she had left in real life. though, you know, that's a little unfair because this book didn't tell me that. I just liked it because I was remembering her memoir.
Yeah,
it she does went to feel like yeah. you had to have read her memoir to really grasp this book. And I think most people are here reading this because of her memoir, but like you shouldn't have to know her background story for it to be effective.
Right. Yeah, the book was definitely not. I think what I said in my own review was that it lacked finesse.
That's true.
Okay, well, that's it. Unless you guys have more to add, do you have book recommendations?
I'm glad my mom died. I mean, easy.
There's a book I haven't read yet that I want to read that I fear is probably along similar lines, but it's Alison Stoner's memoir, Semi Well Adjusted Despite Literally Everything, another child star who was in a lot of Disney shows. I don't know. It's on my like holds that have I need to unsuspend from my Libby. But I'm interested now to see how two different child stars who have similar experiences both turn that into literature. I understand Alison Stoner is probably writing a memoir because Jeanette McCurdy's was successful. It came out after, but I'm still interested because I grew up with both of them on my TV. So, I don't know if it's like a rec, but it's one I want to read. This almost made me want to read it more.
Right. I'm going to recommend A Busy Girl's Throwback. It's in the Dream House, which is a memoir written about an abusive lesbian relationship. And that one is also like sort of experimental. It has like very interesting chapter structure. But I think it gets at a lot of the same themes, like the dynamics of an abusive relationship and like a realistic portrayal of what it's actually like. With a little bit more of that artistic finesse.
Agreed.
Okay. So these are just our opinions. It was a dark one today. Hope you guys enjoyed hearing us talk about it. And you can follow up with us at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere, busygirlspod.com. And we love to hear from you. And please rate and review the podcast. I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.